We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Audacy Station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Here's how I feel about it. It might work. It might not. I don't know. Here are some of the ties. He went to Boston College. Brian Flores went to Boston College. He had signed a contract as a player with the Bears back in 2008 and then was done playing football and started working for Kansas City and never left Kansas City. He's a candidate of color, which I really like, that the Bears went and said, all right, put this black guy in charge. What I don't want, and I saw Herbie talking about this on Twitter, if you hire a younger person, a less experienced person to be the GM, are you going to give that person the opportunity to pick the coach that they want? This is why I didn't like the concept of head coaching interviews were going on without the person who's doing the hiring being in the job. I would have preferred, not that I have that big of an issue with it, I would have preferred if the Bears would have concentrated strictly on hiring the GM first.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
I hope everyone was ready to get to work today like Ryan Poles was. Bass drop!
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. We are going to talk about the new GM of the Bears in a couple different ways, in a couple different interviews. And I've just finished a book that's really, really good. Blood in the Garden by our friend Chris Herring. It's about the 90s Knicks, and there's a ton of great Bulls stories in there. And I was laughing out loud at one of them, which I will talk about a little bit later on when Chris joins the show. But when we come back, our buddy Marshall Harris from CBS2 will get his reaction to Ryan Poles being the GM. That is next here on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Audacy Station.
Good morning, Bears fans. Let's go to work.
I had a little fun with that on Twitter today, at Lawrence W. Holmes. You can see the video. I, too, went to work. And so did the Giants GM. He also went to work. Everyone went to work today. But the Bears put some cinematic heft behind it. And now people, I will run through a wall for this guy. Because he got out of his car. Someone texted in, all he's doing today is getting all his passwords set. He's only meeting with IT. What if he doesn't like what their email is? What if he's like, oh, I'm a Gmail guy. You guys aren't on that? It's too bad.
Somebody said, man, they could just keep the Ryan P at bears.com. And he's like, just goes right into it. I mean, sees all the secrets.
I mean, did Ryan even return emails? Only to Tony Romo. That's it. It's the only person that he returned emails to. We are going to talk about Ryan Poles being the new general manager of the show. We'll get some intel from Kansas City coming up in a little bit. But I wanted to check in. I feel like we should probably just give Marshall Harris a segment. Like, I feel we should do that, but I haven't talked with Marshall about it yet. He joins me on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. You can watch Marshall Harris on CBS2. He does a fabulous job over there. Now he joins me on the Score. What's up, dude?
Yo, I just want to point out something. I have not gone to work yet. I am laying on my couch, like, chilling. So everyone has not gotten up, you know, ready to run through that wall yet. I am ready, though, to be on the show and talk to you today, regular basis, whatever you need from me, Lawrence, because I enjoyed listening to your show. It's part of my get ready for work routine, because I got to be at the office usually 2 o'clock, 2:15.
All right, okay, so then later you can post your video of you going to work and telling everyone, let's go. So what was your... What was your reaction to the Ryan Poles hire?
I think it was like most people's reaction, I think. I was just like, okay, this dude's resume checks out. He's solid. I don't have any holes to poke through him. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Because one of the things when I was listening to your show yesterday that really I was like, yep, like nodding at my Odyssey app when I was doing some work around the house was nobody knows what's going to happen. You know, you can feel one way or another, like an inkling, but just like all those people got excited about the last Ryan P in this same job when he was first hired, you don't know what's going to happen until it plays out. You got to let it play out. It's a first-time general manager who's had experience with one NFL organization. Although working, you know, with three GMs, three coaches, he knows like different ways of doing things, but ultimately, you know, now he's the guy who's got to make the ultimate calls. And I do think he has the ultimate call to hire a head coach. That's the feeling I get. I guess I could be wrong with the whole George McCaskey. I'm going to make the final. It's my decision at the end of the day, which of course it's your decision. Everybody has a boss, but I would think he's going to get it to do his own thing. And I really want to know if there's other coaches that are going to be brought in behind besides the ones they already had scheduled.
Yeah, that's where I find myself going. And I mean, there's all sorts of reports that maybe the Bears are even close, that this was a list of finalists and they're going to hire from the three people that were there. But I'm with you. I wish that there were – if he does feel like – look, this could have been Ryan's list. For all we know, he could have told them, from the people that you've talked to, these are the three candidates that I want to talk to more. Fine. But it would feel better if he all of a sudden says, oh, you know what? I want to make sure that we get a second opportunity to talk with Todd Bowles, for example, or throw any other name out there, Dave Tobe. Like I want to get a chance to do these interviews myself. Then it would give us a clearer picture on who's doing what and who's actually in charge of some of the football stuff.
And you know what else? It would also, just a cursory nod to that and letting him do that would go a long way with the Bears organization and how they look right now in the light. That's all I'm saying.
I'm with you. I think that they could, considering how badly the George Ted press conference Zoom connect went for them a couple weeks ago, there are people who are always going to be concerned until they prove that there isn't a level of meddling by someone who considers themselves to be a fan and not a football professional.
Let me just tell you something. In watching that press conference unfold live, I was marveling. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. You've been doing this for a long time. I was like, I don't know if I've ever seen one this cringeworthy throughout. From the jump, from off the top, like the tone was set from minute one. And then I was like, oh, Ted Phillips is on here. I wonder, is he going to talk or is he just like listening in? And then when they brought him into the fray, I was like, oh, this is great. And it was just, it just kept giving more and more and more. And I was like, any just regular fan, forget about the media, any fan who watched that press conference in its entirety, I was like, yo, I feel for you. And when I say I feel for you, I really do. Living in the cities I've lived in, I just came from Sacramento, Lawrence. And anytime the Kings do anything, I'm like, yo, I feel for these people. I feel for Bears fans right now.
I completely get where you're coming from. And we're talking with Marshall Harris of CBS2. I feel similarly. And it's funny because people think that when I do get angry, that rage is mine. It's not. Like, it really is for people who care about this in a way. Like, you just don't want folks to be, you don't want to be condescended to, you don't want to be lied to. And you want to know that the people who are in charge of the Bears want this as badly as the fans of the team do, knowing that they actually have a way to affect change that fans don't.
I think the crazy thing is, I don't think George McCaskey doesn't want to win. I think the organization thinks they have a plan, but it's not as good as they think. I think they think they're the smartest ones in the room. We've all had people we've worked under, Lawrence, whether it was your first job, your second job, where you knew that the guy that was in charge of you thought just because he was in charge of you, he was smarter than you. And that is rarely the case, correct?
Yes.
So that's what you're dealing with the Bears. They know people are going to watch their product regardless. They're going to make money regardless. And they want to win, but they want to do it I want to do it my way. Well, dude, maybe you should listen a little bit. You know, a lot of leadership is being able to listen and delegate correctly. And then you can see that there's more than one way to get the job done. And your way clearly hasn't been working if you look back at the hiring cycles of the Bears in recent years.
Well, let me say, and I try to be very careful when it comes to giving the Bears credit because they often will disappoint. But I do think that even though they ended up in a similar place with a similar candidate, I did like that their process seemed different, that there were more people that were added to the puzzle in coming to this conclusion. And the hope is that the conclusion ends up being different because, one, because the person is different. Even though the resumes are similar, the person is different, and maybe it allows for Ryan Poles to go in different directions that Ryan Pace could not.
And no one's rooting against the Bears. Everybody wants
– correct.
Nobody likes seeing bad football on a Sunday, man.
Preach on it, Marshall.
Let me tell you about the game I went to, not in Chicago. I went to another NFL game, and I was like, you know what? That's cool. My friend got tickets. Let's go. I went to see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play on a Sunday night this season. Do you happen to remember what happened when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers played on a Sunday night? I wanted to see this in person in Tampa. The score was 9-0. And I was like, what did I just watch? And I was like, you know what? The Bears didn't play a game as bad as this one, maybe. But at the end of the day, we just want to be entertained. We want to see good product. Nobody wants to see bad football. Bad football is hard to watch in person, man. There's no commercial breaks. It's just you left with your thoughts of how bad this football is.
I'm a big proponent of there's no reason to go to football games. I think that the product is better at home.
Listen, and this is going to sound real bougie, but I don't care. If I don't have a box seat, a press box seat, where I can see my instant replays how I want to and not wait on the Jumbotron to show me what's going on, I'm not doing it. I'm staying at home where it's comfortable and I can – it is a better game experience at home. It is.
I think that you're 100% right about this. What's coming up tonight? What you got for the people?
We're going to try to update the coaching search and see what goes on with these two guys that are in the house today. We got a brand new show, Lawrence. We were at 5, 6, and 10 when I got here. Now we have a show at 4 o'clock. So we have 4 o'clock news, 5, 6, and 10. I'm really interested in this Bulls game tonight. The whole Alex Caruso thing has really rubbed me the wrong way. I have friends in Milwaukee, and they're like, it wasn't a dirty play. I'm just like, so we're going to talk a little bit about the Bulls and Derrick Jones Jr. being out now. Like, there's a lot going on right now with the Bulls. And I think the Bulls are fighting for their top six lives over the next course of the next couple of weeks.
I agree with you on that too. And when you look at how close the standings are, that because of all of the injuries and now you have the next injury for the Bulls to try and overcome, man, this is going to be a Herculean effort for them to stay in the top three. And you might be right for them to stay even in the top six. So you can avoid some sort of play-in scenario, which is what the goal. It's so funny, Marshall. Like, that was the goal going into the season. Like, oh, great. The Bulls aren't going to be in a situation where they have to play in a play-in game. And then all of a sudden, all of the injuries come, and now it looks like they're going to have to fight for that. It's not going to be a cakewalk.
And the sad part for me and Lawrence is that I saw what this team had evolved into. You know, coming here, I watched Chicago from afar, and it's like, yo, they can score, but they can't stop anyone. The guys who are hurt right now are the core of why they were able to stop people over the first half of the season. And that's – I really want to see what Billy Donovan does to try to shore up the defense, and it is going to be truly patchwork.
Marshall, I appreciate the time. Good luck on the new venture, and check out Marshall Harris on CBS2 all evening long. Sir, I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for being on.
All right, thanks, Lawrence.
That is Marshall Harris of CBS2. He's really, really good. I'm glad he's a great addition to our town. But let's be real, though. Like, going to football games in the Midwest or Northeast anytime after October, not a lot of fun. And the experience itself is, to me, I've never understood. I get if this is your one time going. Like, I understand, hey, I've never been to a Bears game. I'm going. I get that. But once you know what it is, it's such a better product on TV.
I've only been to road Bears regular season games or the ones that were in Champaign. The first one when you had David Terrell scoring the winning touchdown, too hot. And then I went to the Monday Night Football game down there, terrible. But I don't understand, like you said, why you would watch a game. And I watched the Bears out in L.A. before they went to SoFi. Ugh. The Mitch Trubisky 3rd-and-1. But I just don't understand why you go to an NFL game. If that's your bag, enjoy yourself. But like you said, the product at home, you can do other things. The Bears are terrible. Let's turn on the red zone. Let's turn on a different game.
Look, I went to an Iron Bowl. I went to Bama, Auburn while being a student at Bama. I'm glad.
Roll damn time, baby.
I am glad that I had the experience. And maybe I'll do another one at some point. But I still would rather watch the games on TV.
I disagree on college, though.
College, it's a different experience,
the atmosphere
is no
different.
Doubt. And the pregame stuff, especially being on campus, like the pregame stuff and the stuff that you learn, I didn't know what they was doing down there in these Tuscaloosa streets. And I learned, and I thought it was very slick. Like, part of the reason that the young ladies get dressed up the way that they do is so that they can conceal free alcohol, which is great and hilarious. Because I was trying to figure out, why do they have on the boots that go up like past the knee? Like, it was, you know, like 65, 70 degrees. And then I saw, oh, y'all sneaking in liquor. Okay, that's what's up. Yes, college football is definitely a different vibe. And again, I would recommend whomever your favorite college team is, go to one of those as an adult and see what it's like. But for the NFL, I'm good. Give me red zone all day. And have the Bears game be on an island. Preferably, I've now come to the conclusion, Thursday night. Let them be the Thursday night game every week, and then I can watch the rest of the league until they get better. And then I can watch the rest of the league on the weekend. We want to learn more about Ryan Poles. We are going to try to do that with someone who covered Ryan Poles next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
I haven't told many people this. After I got cut from Chicago, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I went to Vermont with my girlfriend and my wife at the time, and we lived up there. And I was this close to taking a marketing job before a friend called and said, hey, there's a graduate assistant job at BC. Do you want to jump in that? And I said, yes. So I jumped in that. I met a bunch of scouts. I was like, this is exactly what I want to do, and hit the ground, and I'm here today. So it was close for me not being where I am, which is interesting.
That was Ryan Poles talking about how he got into the business. And I think John Greenberg from The Athletic put out the picture of him as a non-drafted player when he was with the Bears for that summer, of him in his Bears uniform. Well, he's the new general manager. Worked his way up from cut NFL player to NFL general manager in the span of 13 years. That's really, really good. Now he has this opportunity, and we want to try and find out more about him. Dani Welniak works in Kansas City. She's sports director for KCTV. Out there, and She wrote on Twitter yesterday that Ryan Poles will be missed in Kansas City. So I want to try and figure out why. She joins me on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotel and Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Danny, hi. Thank you for joining me.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk a little bit about Ryan and kind of what he brings to Chicago. And I know that you guys have had a chance to hear a little bit from him, but a little inner workings behind the scenes stuff never hurts, right?
No, it never hurts. Like, all the intel that we can gather is greatly appreciated. So why is Kansas City going to miss him?
I think there are a lot of different things at play there. I think from the personnel side of things, a lot of people don't get a chance to see the Ryan Poles, the guys who are helping out Brett Veach, and they're the men basically in the trenches that are doing a lot of stuff that aren't seen out at training camp or aren't out running around at practices. They're doing a lot of the stuff inside the building. But I think the reason that Kansas City will miss him the most is that he was a very intricate part of just like those inner workings, the decisions that were made. And he's a very relationship oriented guy. And I think that's really important moving into a general manager role and just being inside of that, you know, personnel department, is that a lot of GMs don't have that. They don't have kind of the emotional side of things. They don't see the person, they just see the player. And a lot of times, you know, he's talked about how important it is to have emotions when you're cutting guys or when you're making decisions. And he's big on being real and being honest. Like, one of the things that he's said before is that don't lie to a player when you're having conversations with them. If they come up to you and they approach you, you need to tell them if it's a health reason. You need to tell them if it's a depth issue and it has nothing to do with, you know, their performance during practices or things of that nature. And he's very big on kind of the human element of the personnel department. And a lot of GMs don't see it that way. And so I think that's a big reason why he's going to be really good for Chicago, because I think that's a little bit different from, you know, some of the guys that you've had in that role in the past. And he's also incredibly detail oriented. Now, you guys know that he comes from the Andy Reid side of things, which he has literally binders of everything that he's done in the past so that he can go back and look at it and go back and check all of his schedules and all that stuff. And he's kind of adapted and developed that as well. And I thought one of the really fun stories that he's told us before is that when he was a GA at the college level, he actually was put in charge of stapling a bunch of packets. And the next day when he came into the office, into his office, the packets were plastered all up on his walls with red markers circling all of the different spots that he had put the staples, and how unacceptable it was that all of the staples were in different spots, and how important it was to be detail oriented if he wanted to make it in this industry. And he said that was something that really stuck with him, because he has to be detail oriented. He has to be on top of it. And it's something that makes you successful in this league. And if you want to get to a general manager position, I mean, it's true. You have to be very detail oriented and you have to be on top of everything. So I think there's a lot of different things that Kansas City will miss about him. I think the biggest thing, obviously, is that character, personality, and emotion kind of first as a personnel guy.
Most of us are products of the people that we are around. And he's been around a bunch of different leadership types in Kansas City, whether we're talking about Pioli or we're talking about Veach, or as you mentioned, Andy Reid. What do you hope are the things that he gathered from each of the influences of the people that are high up in the Kansas City organization?
I love that, because it's so true. Over the past 13 seasons that he's been here, he's literally seen the entire spectrum of leadership and what that looks like and what's successful and what's not. And I think that you have to believe that he's taken away this latest model because it's been so successful, with how Veach and Reid and even Dorsey went about scouting and getting a guy like Patrick Mahomes and recognizing what's important and how to go about that. Because we've seen Veach over the last couple of years make chicken salad out of basically chicken poop by turning some of these late round draft picks into guys that are key players and starters and ones that you're going to keep around for quite a while. And there's that side of things with getting the talent, with bringing that in. But then there's also, he's probably learned the downside from the John Dorsey era about making sure that you don't put yourself in trouble with contracts, and you're honest with the players, but you also are very realistic, and you want to get the best out of your players from that side of things, from contracts with money. But you also have to be very realistic in what the big picture is and how to maneuver and finagle contracts. And that's one of the things that makes Brett Beach so beloved around here, is that he recognizes that it's not all about front loading those contracts. He's really good about getting the players to buy into the idea that the longer term contracts, you can kind of finagle and finesse, and then you backload the contracts and you incentivize the contracts, so it doesn't hurt nearly as much when it comes to cap space. And so I think that's one thing that's really big that I'm hoping and believe that Ryan probably has taken away from this latest group and leadership group. And that would be the reason that I firmly believe that he won over the Bears, and even the Vikings highly sought after him. And he goes into those meetings and those interviews and can blow these ownership groups away, because he has the precedent set before him that he's learned here in Kansas City about how to keep the good guys while also being very team friendly.
Danny, I know that you've covered this team for a really long time, and I just want to throw this out there because I loved covering this guy when he was here. Why hasn't Dave Tobe gotten more opportunities to be a head coach?
That is such a good question, because we were talking about this just 2 years ago when he had a couple interviews for head coaching, and then all of a sudden it's just like he hasn't been interviewed since. He's the assistant, technically the assistant head coach here in Kansas City. He was promoted to that a couple years ago. He's still the special teams coordinator. But that is a question that has kind of befuddled a lot of us here in KC, because when he goes to the podium, he is a fantastic soundbite. He's very honest. He, for example, you know, we've talked about how, you know, DeMarcus Robinson has had some issues and, keeping the ball secure. And he went up to the podium and said, yeah, that guy drives me crazy sometimes, but you know, we talk to him, we communicate with him, and we make sure that he's learning from that and he's going to be better. So it's so strange to me that he has not gotten an opportunity to be a head coach yet, because we absolutely love him here in Kansas City. And especially from a media perspective, him being easy to work with, to talk to, being an open book. Like, that's one of the things when I did stuff with the radio network for the Chiefs that was so nice, was that I could ask him pretty much anything and he would be willing to tell me and talk to me about it. And you could just pick his brain about everything. So I don't know behind the scenes. I mean, that's a question that we ask about Eric Bieniemy too, is like, why hasn't he gotten a head coaching job yet? And he probably will. Hopefully he does this season, because he is such a phenomenal coach as well. But I also don't know what goes on in those interviews, and I don't know how well people interview. And, you know, from a business side of things, you know, as well as I do, that maybe the way that somebody, you know, actually works compared to how they interview can be two totally different things. So it's definitely interesting for us here in KC.
No doubt about it. I just wonder, like, would this open the door? Like, would Ryan kind of – is they have some finalists here, but would he add a couple of people, and maybe that would be one of the people? I'm not sure, and I'm not sure it's even fair to speculate, but I just keep thinking about that, because he is always struck me as the type of person that would be great in charge of an organization.
Yeah, and I don't know. Right now, they're in Chicago. I know that the big kind of fear, I think, or like the big picture perspective, is that, do you guys want another is from the Andy Reid tree. And mm-hmm. I know that every coach is very different. I mean, Bieniemy is so much different than Nagy was. Tobe is so much different than Nagy was. Nagy's so much different than Doug Peterson was. And so it's hard to make that judgment and to realize that, okay, this coach is going to be different, even though he's, you know, from the Andy Reid tree. You know, he's going to bring different things to the table. But I think it's really hard, especially if you're trying to kind of please the fan base, to say, hey, we're bringing in another Andy Reid guy, and to get, you know, everybody on board with that. So I think that's a big thing that I think that your organization, the Bears, have to overcome.
Danny, I really appreciate your time. The next time that you're on the show, I want to talk about when you used to lay people out when you played.
That because I am all about a nice blindside block, because that made me feel like the best, but not nearly as good as breaking tackles for touchdowns. my yak yards were off the charts. So I cannot wait to discuss that with you in my glory days, because it's been about a decade. It's been about a decade since. I'm not nearly as fast as I was, but I'm telling you, if you guys find my highlight, whew, I will just blow you away.
No, I was looking at the highlights. So we're going to talk in February or March, and it's going to be all about you like breaking people's ankles.
Let's do it. I'm all about it.
Thank you so much for your time. That is Dani Welniak. She, like, played ball. Like, she's got medal and stuff. So we're going to talk football with her, like, her playing days the next time we get a chance to talk with her. Check this out. If you're on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore, you can see it because I have it here. My man Chris Herring, HF guy, covered the NBA for a really long time, wrote a book called Blood in the Garden. It's all about the 90s Knicks, which means that it's also about the 90s Bulls. There's some incredible stuff in here. I'm going to talk with Chris about this. You don't want to miss it. It's next here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.